Jesus is Lord of all, and He is the Messiah. I'm so thankful that we know Him as our Lord and Savior, our personal Lord and Savior. Are you grateful for that? Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking, as I had a little fun with Claire and Ross, you know, that nickname she had, she would add to her nickname. And so one morning, and I mean like 1 a.m, I'm walking to the restroom. She's around 2. And I hear this. I'm like, what is that? It was dark. And I look down, and there's Claire on all fours, acting like a dog. And for 2 or 3 days, she would not do anything but bark and pant, and would not let us call her anything but Cozy Girl. So then she would loved her popsicles, and she added popsicle on and off. So we would call her that whole name just for fun for a while. But you know, aren't we thankful for the blessings in our life? I'm thankful as God has blessed Shannon and I. And I just look forward to the upcoming months and years and whatever God gives. And I look forward to after that, of being with Jesus in heaven, of being with God in glory. I look forward to that. But I just want you to know, we're going to be in Galatians today on the third fruit. And then we're going to take a break from Galatians. The next 2 weeks, I'm excited that Pastor Jacob will be bringing to you 2 messages on Christmas. And then on Christmas Day, we get to come together, and I'll be back up here on Christmas Day. You know, Christmas Day, to celebrate the Lord's birthday, when we celebrate it, what better place to be than to come on Sunday morning and worship the Savior? So I hope we'll see you all that day if you're able. And then in January, we'll get back into Galatians. And don't worry, we're only 7 or 8 away from being done with this series. And I'm excited to tell you where we'll be going next, but we'll hold off on that. Today, we're going to look at the fruit of peace. And I think this is so neat because as we take a break from Galatians, without no planning at all, we've covered love, joy, and peace. Is that not Christmas or what? Love, joy, and peace. The fruit of peace. When you think about peace, if there is one thing that has been the face of our nation here these past few years, is that of violence, isn't it? Riots in the street, masses of people breaking into stores, looting, shooting, and killing, even masses of people charging and going into the Capitol, and on we see this. Riots in the streets. When you think of our homicide rates in our major cities, they're at an all-time high, and domestic violence is on the rise and at an all-time high. And in many of our cities, people are afraid to even go out on the streets at night. Anxiety and depression are palpable now, having given rise to a drug culture and an alcoholism that is sweeping through the nation. And that only masks the problem, but gives no permanent solutions. Suicide, everyone, is one of the leading causes of death in high school and on our college campuses. Wow. Young people in the very prime of their life are killing themselves. Man, do people want peace? Do we not see the great need for peace? You look at wars and our brothers and sisters and fellow citizens of humanity dealing with such atrocities of war internationally. Most people want peace. They want to be able to live in their communities, right? And live in their homes without fear of violence, without fear of the unknown. Most people, if you ask them, I would say most people want peace in their families. Strife, turmoil, fighting, screaming, and quarreling is not really what most people want. Most people want peace of mind and peace of heart and a peaceful environment to live in. They don't want to live with depression, with anxiety, fear, and worry in their life. And yet so many people live with the fear of the unknown, of death. Well, we know all that, and we see it so much in our culture today. But there is great news. There is great hope. There is actually a cure for it all. Right on? Not a temporary Band-Aid or a treatment or medicated solution. The peace the world desperately wants and craves and needs and the heart longs for is available in the person of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Are you thankful for that? Amen. So we have looked at the fruit of love and of joy. Let's just have a little bit of clarification before we move on in the fruits. Before we delve into the fruit of peace and the other fruits, let's just remember this is just one aspect of the fruit, which is singular as a whole. Okay? It would be hard to imagine, for example, that one could truly be a loving person who is not a kind person, who is not a gentle person, who is not a peaceful person, or that real joy and peace could be experienced by a selfish person or an angry person. You see, this fruit cluster is all interrelated. It all works together. So please, you should not get the idea that just because we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit one at a time, that you should work on the fruit one at a time. Okay? It's not like I'll start with love, and when I get love nailed down, I'll move on to joy. And when I get joy nailed down, I'll move on to peace. It's not like that. It will start with love, and when I get that, I'm going to move. No, God wants us to be working on it all at one time. Now, it may be true, and it probably is true for each and every one of us, that you're stronger or weaker in certain fruits, okay? And that's okay. And you may want to pray and focus on those particular fruits you know you want the Lord to produce more in your life. So this is the Spirit working in our lives to put you all together using all the fruits, okay? We're just going to look at them individually so you have a real good understanding of them. All right. Lord, I just thank you this morning for the peace that you can give. Lord, the world is hungry for peace in personal lives, in the mind, in the emotion, in relationships, in culture, in nations. Oh, Lord, we pray that as we move into this fruit and we look at this season, Lord, you are the God of peace. And Lord, may we pursue it, may we want it, may you, Lord, see in our hearts a willingness to allow you to produce your produce in our life so that we may be your living examples, so that we may be experiencing that peace in our own life with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as I see it, when you look at God's Word, there are four kinds of peace in God's Word. Four kinds of peace spoken about in the Bible. The first peace, when you look at peace, is international peace. What did Jesus say? He clearly stated and said that until the end there would be no lasting peace in the world. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be wars and rumors of wars, right? Isaiah 2:4 tells us there is coming a day, amen, when Jesus returns, and all wars will end. Yeah? All wars will end, and the peace that the world longs for on this earth will be realized in the millennium. But we're not there yet, so wars are going to continue in the world. That is not the peace spoken of here in the fruit of the Spirit. It is one of the pieces in God's Word. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of peace in this context are the next three types of peace I want to share with you today. So let's look at the first type of peace out of the fruit of peace. Three aspects. First, salvation peace. Salvation peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. There you have it. Through who? The only way, the one and true way, through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, for us believers, there is a peace we now have with God because we have been justified. Remember, we saw that earlier in Galatians, what it means to be justified, declared, justified, done, righteous. Wow. Through faith in Christ. So this type of the peace is a peace that we did not have before we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible clearly states a fact that most people are not aware of. In fact, they're completely unaware of this. Remember, we saw earlier in Galatians, they think good works can get them to heaven. They think if they're good enough. What they don't realize is that there is enmity. There is no peace at all between God and the unsaved man. There is enmity, enemy. There's nothing that can do anything, nothing you can do to earn, buy, or pay for that peace. The unsaved person in the world is not at peace with God, no matter what he thinks. Nor, and this is more accurate, and this is where it really hits it, nor is God at peace with them. You want to know something, you want God to be at peace with you. Wow. Everything is not all right. The issue is sin before a holy God who hates sin, who is perfect, who is holy. The issue at its core is the very need for the gospel to begin with. That man is not at peace with God due to their sin against God. Therefore, man is at enmity with God. Is it any wonder why man needs peace with God? John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey, that word obey is rejects the gospel, rejects the Son, will not see life. But here it is. But the wrath of God abides or remains on him. As if it just started? No, it's been there all along. Those who do not have Christ as their Lord and Savior, the wrath of God remains on them. They're at enmity with God for their sin against him. It's the great plight of the world, and Jesus did something about it. Man can never find the true, lasting peace apart from Jesus Christ. He is dead in his sins, and therefore he is in a continual state of war against God. Wow. If they could only see, if they could only truly know that. We've seen in Galatians the flesh, haven't we? And we've seen the deeds of the flesh and the Spirit and his fruit. We've seen the lost and the saved, the false gospel and the real gospel. So listen to the Apostle Paul drive this home with such clarity in Romans and the lost and the saved. Walking in the flesh of the Spirit, he says in Romans 8, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is, here we have it, hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is the problem. This is the issue. Man is at enmity with God due to their sin, and they cannot please him. They are at war with God. But look at the beautiful promise in these few verses here. Peace and life everlasting. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Amen? But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That new life, now at peace with God. Therefore, praise the Lord. There is the gospel in which we have the joy of our salvation. And that joy of our salvation transfers over into a calm, restful, I'm now at peace. I'm no longer at war with God. And he's at peace with me. You see, the wrath that should fall upon us all for our sins, God has now caused to fall on his Son at Calvary. And he says, I can give you peace. Wow. And when we believe that, when you repent of your sins and you turn to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you turn to him for your salvation, his grace then wipes away all that sin. All that enmity is immediately gone. And you are now, once and for all, at peace with God. Amen. And your Savior. As the song goes, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Safe from wrath and make me pure. Are you glad that you have been made pure by Jesus Christ, no longer under the wrath to come for your sin? Well, then you're at peace with God. Is it any wonder? This is why the battle armor of God in Ephesians 6:15, the gospel is called the gospel of peace. Think about that. That gospel brought to man brings peace from war, peace from enmity, death to life, wrath to salvation. Man. Which is what it is, the gospel of peace, the good news that there can be peace between a sinless, perfect God and his creation who willfully, rebelliously sins against him. Wow. I love that. We should give God an amen. Amen. Remember, we spent weeks and weeks on the true gospel, knowing it, defending it, proclaiming it, and said to really walk in the Spirit, we had to know the gospel and live it. Remember, let's remember the context here. What's going on in Galatia? This peace with God by faith alone, in Jesus alone, was in stark contrast to the false teachers of the Judaizers who are trying to steal away the true gospel. Right? That law-keeping, that works, had to be added to faith in Jesus to be saved. And what happens, we saw, in a gospel like that, it cannot save man, nor will it save man, but what it will do is do nothing but incite and inflate fear. Fear. When you think of peace of heart, do you think of fear? There's no peace in fear. There is no salvation peace in the heart of somebody who believes they can and must work for their salvation, for they will never know if they have done enough. They will never know. You see, the Spirit wants this aspect of the fruit of peace to give you rest and what only can come through salvation, through grace alone. Wow. Peace with God. If there's anything that could happen to us in this world, I tell you, like Paul said, it's momentary, it's light. You, if you know Christ, are at peace with God. The next fruit, part of this fruit of peace is salvation peace, and now personal peace, personal peace. We're going to now move over to Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You will now notice a change of the word. You will notice that this is now called the peace of God. Why? You're already at peace with God. All true believers already have salvation peace. The assurance of our salvation, the promises of God that He cannot lie, that we have what He gave us, our salvation. I'm at peace with Him. This here is a peace that God gives to those who are already at peace with Him through faith in Jesus. This is a personal peace that guards. This is the idea in the text. It stands like a sentinel around the mind and the heart of those who are in Christ. You may say, man, that guy doesn't look too peaceful. Hey, my peace is bad to the bone. He attacks all bad thoughts, bad things. He wants none of that to come into my life. He stands as a sentinel around your heart and guards you. Think about it. It's a terrible thing to be on the losing side of spiritual warfare. It's a terrible thing to be consumed by depression, consumed by anxiety and stress and fear and worry and doubt. It's a terrible thing to doubt your salvation, to doubt the promises of God, to doubt what He's going to do in your life. Satan wants nothing more than to defeat you. He wants nothing more than to destroy you and to discourage you with stress. He wants to pour on anxiety, pour on fear, bring in depression, discouragement, doubt, and despair. And the Lord wants none of that for you. He wants none of that for you. He wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have His peace. He says, you're at peace with me. Now I can give you the peace of me. Wow. The fruit of peace through the Spirit, it stands guard to defeat all that would attack your God-given peace of heart and mind. I'm thankful for that. Amen. This peace, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, it says, surpasses all comprehension. Which means I'm incapable of giving you a perfect message on it. Because there's stuff about it I don't even know. I can't even explain it. I'm just giving you the layman's best expression of the teaching of peace. But it's beyond comprehension. In fact, we will never fully comprehend it. Especially when, at those times where it's humanly impossible to comprehend it, where the world would say there's absolutely no ability to have peace in this situation. I mean, you should be tore up. You should be in despair. You should end it right now. You should give up. You should quit. What about those times of life? And yet, for the believer at peace with God, filled with the peace of the Spirit, something inexpressible, something that surpasses comprehension, down deep there is within your heart and mind a soul satisfying, God-given peace that all is well, even when it's not. All is well. This is that peace Daniel had in the lion's den. Remember, it was the king who stayed awake without peace, pacing all night in Daniel 6. And as the song goes, I'd rather be on the inside with God than looking out. about perspective. This is the peace Peter had. Remember when he was sound asleep, snoring, sawing logs, when he was on death row about to die in his prison cell in Acts 12. And the list goes on. It's a beautiful thing beyond comprehension. This is a personal peace that should not only characterize the Christian life and the crises of life. But here's where we tend to fail most. Peace in the everyday course of life. Peace in the everyday course of life. That idea of God is for me, who can be against me? The assurance of my salvation, my identity in Christ, or his faithfulness towards me, or how about this, the sovereignty of God and his plan for my life and his daily plan for me and his purpose in my life. No matter what society, culture, government, job, economy, the vast unknown, the everyday peace in all situations is included here. How many people walk through life only looking at what's in front of them? They worry about their finances, they worry about the government, they worry about what's coming, they worry about this and they worry about that, and on, and the pessimism of life starts entering in, robbing people of the joy of their salvation, definitely taking all the peace away, and they're at peace with God, but they have no peace of God. And can we say, how good are we? I'm at rest in all things. My family will tell you I never stress out. Y'all know that isn't true. I'm at rest in all things. Philippians 4:6 is clear, and it's radical to mankind. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That means be at peace with the fruit of peace from the Spirit. In everything, Lord, from the everyday detail to the hard, long hardships and trials of life. And yet, what happens to us? So often, we live with anxiety, we live with worry, depression, and discouragement, etc. When faced with the everyday challenges of life in general, along with the trials and tribulations, for far too many, and this is what's sad, far from having joy in their salvation, they don't even have peace in it. No peace in it, in the everyday aspects of life. And God says, no, I don't want you walking in me that way. I want to deliver you from that. Far from salvation that just saves, but a salvation where we are now children of God, with a Father that loves us. A Father that provides for you and cares for you. And his thoughts are made new and fresh for you every day, every morning. Who knows your every thought and your every care and your every concern. Who has already made a plan for you. Who already is preparing a place just for you. Who before the joy set before him endured the cross is looking forward to the day that you stand in his presence. The God who will keep every promise to you. He will break no, not one. And he won't do a half a promise. Yet we do not rest in him. We get so focused on the here and the now. The Lord, he wants our trust. He wants our faith. He wants our reliance on him. And he will produce this fruit in us of peace in your life if you are willing. If you are willing. Let's stop for a moment. Let's note something about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit is God. Right? He is all-powerful, and he can do what he wants. Amen. At his pleasure, he's God. And who are we to resist his power? If he didn't want us to resist his power, we'd have no ability to resist his power. If the Holy Spirit wanted to plant in us perfect love and perfect joy and perfect peace and perfect patience and perfect gentleness and perfect self-control, could he not do it? Of course he could. He could just make you have it. But obviously the Spirit does not do that. The Holy Spirit will not force himself upon you against your will. Doesn't mean there's not consequences. We are told to yield to the Holy Spirit. We are told to participate with the Holy Spirit by walking by the Spirit. And we are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit, which means we can, by refusing his desire for us. We see that in Galatians 5:17. You see, God, in creating you in his image, gave you a free will to choose or not choose to walk in him. All the fruits are yours in abundance to the measure that you are wanting and willing to pursue them. Wow. You must let the peace of God rule in your heart. This is where failure begins. I must let the peace of God rule in my heart. Wow. And you know, I just want to share with you that I don't do a good job of that as well as I should. But some people may do better. I mean, we must be careful how we look at one another. What if you don't have anything going for you in one trial after another after another? But what if you get all the goodies in life? We're going to see that it doesn't matter, that God can give this peace no matter what and what stage you are in life. Wow. I want you to notice something here in Philippians. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. It also says in verse 8 that what? Whatever is what? True and honorable and right and pure and lovely and of good repute, excellent, and anything worthy of praise. Dwell on these things. And then what? Then the things that you have heard and received and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things. And guess what? When you pray right, and I don't mean there's a right way to pray, when you pray right before God spiritually, when you think right and you do right, then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. And you will have the peace of God. And what will God do when you do those things? He will guard your hearts and your minds with his peace. Wow. We must engage in the way the Lord instructs. For him to grow this produce in our life, this restful, this content, trusting peace within us and with others, we must follow him. I mean, is this a ridiculous question? Do you want your heart? Do you want your mind surrounded by the supernatural, beyond comprehension peace of God? Who here says no? Then what's the word say? Then pray about everything. It's your first resort, not your last. Then set your mind, your heart on the things of God and start walking in the ways of God. We think this is rocket science. We think this is too simplistic. We think biblical counseling is too simple. We need to go and get all kinds of other counseling where my feelings are met, and there's truth to that. But what about just following the Word of God? What am I setting my mind on? Am I engaging in this process? And there's no secret that we're going to get to the fruit of self-control. where we're going to see how we can start doing these things more. So the fruit of peace consists of salvation peace. And it consists of your personal peace. And in closing, it consists of relational peace. Allow me to share something about the fruit before we move fully into relational peace. I want you to get a broad overview of the fruit. All the fruit has individual qualities that plays out into a common purpose. But here is a breakdown of the fruit in a very broad, very general way. Love, joy, and peace are upward towards God. Love God. It'll work itself eventually out to others. It's the joy of our salvation. It starts at Calvary. It stays in adversity, and it stares into eternity. Peace, it's the peace with God and the peace of God. Patience, kindness, and goodness are outward. They deal with our treatment of others. And faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are inwards towards self. And we will see and we will develop this as we move to patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But as I said, all the fruit has individual qualities that play out in a common purpose. Combined, all the fruit is ultimately in the context of the outward result of one another. It's one anothering. Combined. It's about living out the character of Christ as we live with one another at church, as we live with one another at home, and as we live with one another with all people in the world. So think about this when it comes to our relational peace. When it comes to our relationship with others, you and me, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about this with our families, within our homes and our extended families outside of our homes. Think about this with the world, everyone else we meet, all those we interact with, the sphere of your influence. You see, salvation, peace with God, personal peace of God, and relational peace with others are all connected. You see, you must be at peace with God before you can even hope to have the personal peace of God within for personal peace. And if you have no personal peace within because of sin, you will struggle to have relational peace with others because sin will abound in those relationships. Let's look at the emphasis on this one another, this one anothering. Look at the emphasis in Galatians 5, 13, 15, and 26. We talked about the sinful flesh. Remember, I spared you from 15 weeks of looking at each sin. Yeah, it's like, yo, woo, woo. Look at all those 15 deeds of the flesh. Oh, my word. In verses 19 through 20, and see if those don't rob you of peace of God within, and see if those don't rob you of peace with others. Verse 15, biting and devouring. Verse 26, boastful, challenging, provoking one another, envying. When the heart and home are filled with these things, what happens? One is not walking by the Spirit. They're walking, what we see in Galatians, by the flesh, because the flesh pits itself against the Spirit. They're always at war with one another. And peace, what happens there? Peace goes out the window. It's gone. It's like our little chihuahua when the doors crack. Gone! But here's the encouraging word. The encouraging news. The Holy Spirit, my friends, can and will produce peace of heart and mind and peace with one another. The Holy Spirit can replace your anxiety, your depression, your worry, your discontentment, your biting, your devouring, your quarreling, your strife, your anger, your division. He can replace all those things that worry you and cause strife in this world in your heart. And he can do it with peace and joy and real love in those who follow and yield to his leading. We don't like to hear this, but we must participate. But this peace isn't just going to happen. God's just not going to make you have it. I want to share with you as we close today a few succinct ways that you can achieve and receive the peace of God ruling in your mind, ruling in your heart, ruling in your relationships. First, rocket science here. Decide to pursue peace. I didn't come up with that on my own. That's not original to me. It's original to God. Look at these verses. Romans 14, 2 Timothy 2, Hebrews 12, 1 Peter. What do you see as the common word? Pursue it. Pursue, it says, and build one another up. It says, flee sin, pursue righteousness, pursue love, and pursue what? Peace. And guys, not just with those who love you, but all men, even the man who hates you. It says, turn from evil and stand there. Turn from evil and just stay put. No, don't just stand there. It says, turn from evil and do good and pursue peace. Wow. Let me share something with you today. The Holy Spirit will produce it when you decide to pursue it. Wow. This peace does not come naturally. What comes naturally to us? Flesh. Our sin natures come naturally to us. But we are born again. We're a new creation. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. When Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 21, remember what he said to him? Make every effort to come. Make every effort to come to me soon. That make every effort is the same word of this pursue. Back in the Blessed Life series, we looked at this in one of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, and I entitled the message, The Last Piece of the Puzzle. How many of y'all can remember all that message? There is so much to know about this piece. You can't preach it all in one message. So you can go back there and you can listen to the character of peace. You can look at the wisdom of peace and the blessings of being a peacemaker. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Notice he didn't say wanters, which again has the connotation that we must pursue it. It's those who pursue and strive to make peace. It doesn't matter what we want in life unless we choose to pursue what we want. It's never too late, my friends, to change your situation and the power of the Spirit, and it's never too soon to begin. And that is one of my favorite things about the Lord. As I live in sin, as I still battle this sinful flesh, that I can always start again, that he can still work through me, that he can still forgive me, and he can still produce his fruit in me. Aren't you thankful for that? Thomas Kempis said, all men desire peace, but few desire those things which make for peace. Interesting thought. So decide to pursue peace. Next, here we go. This is going to run like sandpaper against much of the Christian community today. You must fulfill the conditions for peace. You must fulfill the conditions for peace. The Holy Spirit will produce it when you decide to pursue it, but there are conditions to it. To the born-again believer at peace with God, your salvation is settled. Amen. But his peace of God is conditional upon what we see in Philippians, three things. One, the quality of our prayers. Hymn 4:12, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, just when I think I'm doing great at being a prayer warrior, I realize how not great I'm at being a prayer warrior. I mean, am I praying for everything in my life, every aspect, every little thing? Am I demonstrating to God that my dependence is fully upon him in all things? How much of my own strength do I walk in and then I give the big ones to God, especially those I know that are impossible? I hope you've read the book, Pray Big, because that's about the quality of our prayers. I had to really step back and look how much of my praying is about my own spiritual growth in Christ. How much of my praying is about me truly knowing and growing in his love, being used for his purposes, that I would be a walking symbol of glorifying God. How much of my prayer life is quality like that? I mean, look, I went up to with Shannon up to where Claire and Ross were getting engaged, and I had to take the pictures. I was, Gabe and Kayla were going to go, but they were sick. I didn't pray about that. I should have. I should pray in everything. Everything. Wow. We just finished a series on Wednesday night, Effective Prayer. We all can have truly effective prayer. Philippians 4 boils down to bringing everything to God. Prayer should be like the air we breathe, the walking and continually talking to God in our life. See, the quality is utter dependence in the prayers of every need, emotion, and earthly thing to every need and desire spiritually. Peace, my friends, is attached to prayer with an attitude, Paul says, of gratitude. How are you praying in your life? What does your prayer life look like? Next, the policing of our minds is the next condition. We saw this earlier in Philippians. Peace rules the day, my friends, when Christ rules the mind. Peace will rule the day when Christ rules the mind. You cannot allow your mind to run wild. How many of you have ever lost your mind and had to go chase it? My mind is running wild. And next thing you know, sin's invading. Wow. Get in to God's word. This is a reminder. I don't ever want you to get tired of hearing it. You must grow in the word and allow the word to renew your mind. Colossians 3, 1 through 2, seek and set your mind on the things above. There is that pursue and set your mind on the very things Paul said of what is good, what is noble, what is true, not on the things of the earth. And Colossians 3, 4, especially on imagine this line, Christ who is our life. How are we walking? How much are we really allowing Christ to rule and reign in our life? We saw aspects of this in joy as joy stares at eternity. So as you fill your mind, think about this. As you fill your mind with the Word of God, as you see over and over in his word and through your prayer life, his love, his power, his sovereignty, his care, and his compassion for you, you will find yourself more willing to trust him. You will find your faith ever growing and ever stronger in every situation. And you will realize the promise of Isaiah 26:3, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trust in you. Peace brings and builds trust. Peace. The Living Bible It translated like this: He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Wow. Next, as we close, condition, the practice of our faith. It's following God's word and doing it now. Doing it now. Paul said what in Philippians attached to this peace of God? Practice these things. What things? What he taught, what he said, how he lived, his actions and what he did. We have what they did not have. We, by God's grace, have the entire word of God. We have all of it, the entire word of God. And as James said, be doers of the word, which in essence is practice these things. Think about that. Simply put, no believer should think that they can live any way they want. You can't. You cannot. I came in on it late, but Kayla was talking about this morning, I guess from Sunday school this morning, about missionaries who come here or people from Turkey who come here, and they think they're going to be around all kinds of great Christians. See, over there where there's persecution and it's hard, if you claim to be a Christian, most likely you are one. But over here, they're let down because they don't see. Because so many Christians here live in the margins, or they live in the gaps, and they live with sin, and they live with the world in their life, and their hopes and their desires are temporal mainly, and they have no peace of God. They don't have any peace of their salvation. The Bible says practice these things. When we put the word of God into practice, it transforms our life. It brings you joy and happiness, peace and contentment. When we honestly and earnestly seek to live by the law of love and the rule of the Spirit, trusting God for all our needs, you're going to be able to say this with the psalmist: in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Isn't that beautiful? This type of peace is obtained by those who live all out for the Lord. I will tell you, if you're not living all out for the Lord, you are not experiencing the peace God wants you to have. He wants that. He loves you. So as the praise team comes up as we close, I praise God for my salvation peace. I praise Him that I can have all of His peace, His personal peace. And I praise God for the relational peace as God shares with me and grows me in how to live with you and one another with you and my family and my friends and my neighbors and the world. Are you letting the peace of God rule in your life? I pray that the Spirit will produce this peace in abundance in you. So far, we've looked at love, joy, and peace. What a perfect place to stop as we now go into the Christmas season. But Lord, I just pray, as we look at your peace, I thank you that one day we will have international peace as we rule, as we reign with you in glory. Oh, Lord, I pray that we never take for granted our salvation peace. To know that we're at peace with you, Lord, the gift beyond all measure. Lord, that your personal peace is beyond comprehension. In the very harshest and toughest trials of life, to the everyday moments in life, I pray, Lord, that we will appropriate that peace, that we will follow you, that we will allow you and set our minds to be thinking on you, to follow what you tell us to do in your word. And Lord, I just pray for our relationships. I pray, Lord, for our families. I pray that peace, your peace, will rule in the home, that it will rule in the church, and that, Lord, we will take your peace to a lost and dying world that knows none of it, and share your peace with them, the gospel of peace. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.